Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Civ and the Swede podcast. I'm your host, the Swede, Gus Elvin. My co-host, the Civ, Ben Arledge, our resident netminder, is on the other line. We'll have him in a second. Last night we went over the Atlantic Division. Due to some technical difficulties, time constraints, we weren't able to finish the bottom of the division. We apologize for that. But we're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday. Wrap up the last two teams in the Atlantic today, and then go into the Metropolitan Division and go through that in entirety. Ben's on the other line. Ben, how you doing today? And good to have you back on the program. Ben, are you there? All right, we're going to work on getting Ben right back in, but for now, we'll start off with where we left off. The bottom of the Atlantic Division, we had the Florida Panthers where we just wrapped up. We talked about the young team and kind of them jumping a year earlier than many projected. This year, I think another young team that could make that jump is the Buffalo Sabres. I think the Buffalo Sabres have a lot of young talent, and I think this is a team that maybe not is a team right now, but a team that definitely is one that can make a huge jump in terms of the standings, and a team that is one to watch in the next few years. First thing to start with the Sabres, it has to be the offseason. This team really overhauled. And made a lot of major moves starting last year at the trade deadline. They make a trade with Winnipeg, bring in disgruntled Evander Kane, but a very talented Evander Kane. Picking up Kane and Bogosian at the deadline this offseason, they come up second in the Connor McDavid sweepstakes in the draft lottery, so they get the second pick. I don't want to call him a consolation prize because in most years Jack Eichel is the number one pick in this draft. They get Jack Eichel with the second overall pick, a guy who can be a number one center, a two-way guy who can really be the face of this franchise for the next decade or so. And then they also make some free agent acquisitions. They bring in Ryan O'Reilly, a big center, a guy that plays both ends of the ice. They think he's an excellent two-way center. They lock him up for a long time. And they also sign up Cody Franson, who, despite his best intentions of holding out the entire offseason, finally signs a contract towards the end. Cody Franson is, I think, a necessary part here in Buffalo. Defense is definitely a work in progress, but the Sabres are definitely getting better, and they have some pieces now where in the past they've been a very young and very inexperienced and, I guess, talent-stricken team. I think when you talk about the Sabres, you have to talk about the offseason. They get a new coach in Dan Bylsma. Eichel, obviously, who we talked about, a future star in this league at the second overall selection. O'Reilly, Franson, Evander Kane. You still have pieces back, veterans like Matt Molson. Tyler Ennis had a great year at the end of last season. He really came on and played well for Canada at the World Junior Championships. And I think this team, with their young pieces, with the new head coach, it's not going to happen overnight, but Buffalo is a team that could make a jump. Only 54 points last year. I expect more out of them. And maybe they can even get out of the cellar. I know I'm picking them to slightly edge out Toronto here, the bottom of the Atlantic Division. I think we have Ben on the other line. We had some difficulties there with the phones. Ben, can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Not too bad. I know we had some difficulty getting you on to start. basically started off with the Florida Panthers, how we ended yesterday, talked about how they maybe were a year ahead in the development process. Going down one team further, I know I have the Buffalo Sabres. I know you were kind of torn on whether to go with Buffalo or Toronto here. What do you make of the Sabres? Obviously a new look, different head coach. They go second in the McDavid sweepstakes and get a potential superstar and kind of a future face of the franchise building block in Jack Eichel. They get Kane last year, Ryan O'Reilly. What do you see from the Sabres? And can this team make a similar jump to Florida? I'm not saying a playoff per se, but a team that can make a jump from 54 points, what they had last year.
Yeah, potentially. This team is completely rebuilt. It's a coin toss, really, at the bottom there with Toronto and Buffalo. They're both in the rebuilding stage. Buffalo is a lot further along, I would think. The reason that I'm hesitant to say that they can make the Florida-esque jump is their goaltending situation. They went out in the offseason and attempted to find their youthful netminder for the future, somebody that can, you know, get them some wins down the road. Unfortunately, we don't know what to expect out of Robin Leonard. They sent the first-round pick to Ottawa for him. He's played a handful of games in his career, and he's been mediocre. He hasn't really lived up to the original projection for himself yet. So I'm not really sure. And on that point, he was pretty awful in the preseason as well. So I don't really know what to expect out of the goal situation and the defense. Adding Cody France is going to help, definitely. But, they got Ristolainen and Bogosian back there. Outside of that, I don't see a lot of help on defense. The offense is going to be there. You have a great line up front with, O'Reilly and Kane, or Eichel and Kane, whoever they decide to put Kane with there. You got Tyler Ennis. Matty Molson's a good forward. Sam Reinhart's going to be able to contribute as well in his second year. So I think this team's going to be good. I don't know about making that jump just yet. And I think it's because of the defensive side of it rather than the offensive side of it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think they'll be better, that's for sure. Just on paper, you can tell the team's better. They're a completely different place than they were last year, where they were just outmanned most nights. Like you said, really like the top six forwards. Eichel, Kane, Ennis, O'Reilly, Reinhart, Gergensens. And then I think they have three decent defensemen when you look at Bogosian, France, and Ristolainen, and I think it's a very good young to build around. I don't like the Leonard trade. I think they gave up a lot, especially when you consider all the other goalie movement this offseason. Carolina, who we'll talk about later, they get a kind of a deal on Eddie Lack. Edmonton with Cam Talbot didn't give up as much as they did with Rob. They basically pay. They trade for Robin Leonard based on potential, because this guy in the last two seasons, the 61 games he's played, 21-27 with over three goals against and a .910 save percentage. This is a potential move. They wanted a big goalie. Leonard is that at 6'5". They have some control with the contract with him. But just kind of a weird move, I think, for Buffalo to go with Leonard, a very unproven goalie, to be the back end of this young and up-and-coming team. And then on the other hand, they also, in that trade, take on Legwand, who, while is a veteran and a guy who maybe you need to have around here, you're paying $3 million for, and a guy who's really on his last legs and is nothing more than a fourth liner. I think Buffalo is better, but like you, I think this team still is a few pieces away, and they definitely need to continue to add on the back line on defense. And I think they're going to have to redo this goalie thing after a year or so. I just don't see Leonard becoming that number one guy that he was projected to be coming out of Sweden. Moving on to the other team that we did not get in the Atlantic Division, the Toronto Maple Leafs. Last year, this time, this franchise is a complete dumpster fire. You make some changes here. Brendan Shanahan, in his second year, they hire Mike Babcock away. They're paying him over $6 million. Just because they bring in a guy like Babcock, who's seemingly won everything in this game, cups, world championships, gold medals, this is not going to be an overnight rebuild. The cap situation is terrible for Toronto. They were able to unload Phil Kessel's contract, which was one of the ones they were trying to do. They still have guys like Lupul, they took on Nathan Horton's contract. And then Phaneuf is just the contract that may be the worst in the NHL. Too many albatross contracts here for Toronto. You can't expect Babcock to turn this thing around overnight. But what do you think about Babcock to Toronto? Obviously, two headstrong people there with Babcock and Shanahan. Be interested to see how that works out. And they kind of went bargain buying here in the offseason. They're hoping to kind of catch lightning in a bottle with a few guys, get some underrated guys they think maybe are undervalued. What do you make of Toronto's offseason? And can this team, I guess, be more responsible? Do they care? Can Babcock bring a sense of urgency here and kind of hold these guys accountable? Because it seemed like the last few years, a lot of these Toronto guys are just kind of going through the motions, a very passive group. And obviously guys like Kadri and Lupul and Phaneuf have just been absolutely torn apart in the Toronto media. Can these guys actually produce anywhere near their money? And can this team, I guess, just put out a respectable product on the ice for entire 82 games?
Well, the thing for me is everybody sees Babcock come in here and expects the team to just kind of flip overnight and become a team and at least put some wins on the board and contend for a playoff spot at the end of the season. That's just not going to happen, not with this roster. They brought Babcock in basically to rebuild this team, and he's the right guy for the job. The problem is I think they have too many heads, too many chefs in the kitchen. They have Lou Lamoriello that they, of course, brought in as the GM. Shanahan, as you say, there's going to be a lot of names up top in the executive offices there that are all going to want to hand in this piece. And, you know, so far they're doing a decent job. Kessel trade, that needed to happen. I don't think they could rebuild this team with Phil Kessel on the roster. They still have the pieces in place here at the top line, you know, JVR, Kadri. I like them bringing in Brad Boyce. The defense is kind of a mess, as you were saying. Phaneuf's contract is potentially one of the worst in the sport. And the goaltending situation is still a big question mark back there. Jonathan Bernier came in 2 years ago, and they expected him to be the starter of the future, basically, after a couple of good years with L.A. And he just hasn't really been that. He's been a low-level starter. He actually had a battle with James Reimer in the preseason this year, eventually won the job. So this team's a little bit far off still. I actually probably agree that they're, now that I'm looking at it a little bit deeper, I probably agree that I think they're a little bit below Buffalo, a little bit behind them. They just don't have the talent up front that Buffalo might have this year. And they're in questionable defensive and goaltending states as well. The difference could be Babcock, but we'll see how quickly he can work with this group. I think it's going to be like a 2-year, 3-year type deal up in Toronto.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Babcock is a good hire here for one reason. I think they're not going to get away with the things they got away with last year. I think he at least holds this team accountable. You're not going to see them completely kind of just fall off in the second half like they have in the past. I just don't think they have the roster to be a playoff team. Can they maybe get something out of Lupul and Phaneuf? Maybe. I think Lupul is a guy with a lot of skill. That Babcock may be able to pry some of his past success out of. The guy clearly has the ability, just very inconsistent, a lot of injuries there. Same goes for Kadri, a guy who's in and out of the doghouse of whatever coach it is. I don't think to start Babcock will accept that. I think he's going to really challenge Kadri, and if he doesn't perform, I think Kadri's a guy who could be on the move. And then you talked about some of the offseason bargain buys. They get Sean Mathias, who they hope can be a power forward. Had a pretty good year last year with 18 goals. Nick Spaulding, the guy who was a very talented kid coming in. He's been now moved 2 years in a row. He went from Nashville to Pittsburgh, now to Toronto. He'll be a third liner there. Winnick's a good faceoff Corsi guy. And P.A. Parentau is another bargain buy who's really fallen off the last year. There's some building blocks. I like JVR. I like Morgan Riley on the back end, but more holes than solutions here. And I think Toronto, like you said, is more than than 1 year away. I think this is a slow building process. And I think the face of Babcock will also help, as Toronto might be able to lure some bigger free agents here in the next few years and maybe get a guy in his prime rather than overbuying like they have in the past with paying a ton of money to Kessel, over $7 million to Fanouf, over $5 million to Lupo. These kind of deals have really derailed this franchise. And I think with the new ownership group, new GM, new head coach, I think things could be on the upturn in Toronto, but like you said, it's not going to happen overnight, and I think this will be a slower process than many think. Now that we've wrapped up the Atlantic Division, we're going to get over to what we're really focusing on today, the Metropolitan Division. This is a very strong division at the top. A lot of teams here made some moves. Washington was very good last year. They make a couple small moves. The Rangers pretty much stay pat, but they have been in contention the last 2 years in the Stanley Cup Finals. 2 years ago, last year, in the Eastern Conference Finals. Pittsburgh adds Phil Kessel, and we know about the firepower they already had up front with Malkin and Crosby. And then you talk about Columbus, I think the trendiest team here in the NHL. A lot of people like what Columbus did, bringing in Saad, and a lot of people, Brandon Saad from Chicago, and a lot of people think Columbus is ready to flip the switch on and make a huge jump this year. The Islanders also had a great year last year. This is a very deep division. I think going through the top five, you could really make a case all five of these teams will be in the playoffs. Who do you have at the top here in the Metropolitan Division, and why, and what do you see kind of being the difference between a lot of very good teams in this division?
Yeah, like you said, there's probably five teams here that, if, you know, you told me any three of those made the playoffs at the end of the year, I wouldn't be surprised at all. They're all capable of making the playoffs. There's definitely a drop-off after that five seed to the sixth, going from what I consider probably Columbus to Philadelphia. But these top teams, I got the Rangers overall, the number one. I think they're still the team to beat in that division and potentially the conference outside of maybe Tampa Bay out in the Atlantic. The Rangers made a couple moves in the offseason. Stay under the cap, they sent Hagelin out to Anaheim and brought in Emerson Needham, who's currently a healthy scratch, but he's going to add some speed and some size, which is what they really needed last year. They lacked size. They had the speed, but they didn't really have the size, so he'll be a good depth winger. They brought in Victor Stahlberg. They brought up Oscar Lindberg from the minors. He made the team and actually scored his first goal last night, opened up the scoring early on in the game against Chicago. The defense pretty much stays the same, although they finally bring up their first-round pick from a couple of years ago, Dylan McIlrath. He'll slot in as a 6D on the last unit there, and occasionally be a healthy scratch. They bring in Jarrett Stahl from L.A., who, you know, amidst his problems, will be a decent fourth-line center for us, or occasionally on the wing. I believe they had him playing a little wing last night. And, of course, Cam Talbot goes out to Edmonton in a backup goalie situation. He'll get the chance to start out there, and they bring in Antti Raanta from Chicago, who, you know, is another guy that will be able to save Lundqvist a couple starts here and there. So I like what they did in the offseason, even with their cap issues. I think this team is still built to win right now. They have a top three defensive unit in the league. They have a top three goaltender in the league. And they had definitely have the scoring power up front. They scored a lot of goals last year. They were in the top five in offense, scoring over three goals a game. Do I think Rick Nash repeats that 42-goal effort? Probably not. He'll, you know, come back to the mean a little bit. But you got younger guys who might be able to break out a little bit more than they did last year. Chris Kreider is primed to break out. Kevin Hayes could really have a big breakout year. JT Miller started to look really good last year. So he could put some, you know, he could have easily have a 15 to 20 goal season, I think. They get Matt Zuccarello back to slot in with that Rick Nash and Broussard line. And, of course, locking up Derek Stepan will definitely help get them as close to a first-line center as they've had for some time. He seems like he's starting to become that. So I like what the Rangers have here, and I definitely have them at the top of this division.
Yeah, I think the Rangers are going to be right there when all is said and done. I think it's between them and Washington to win this division. When it starts with the Rangers, you mentioned Nash had a career year last year and also kind of exercised his playoff demons. Got off to a slow start again last year in the playoffs, but really played well the as the playoffs wore on, and I think that was huge for him to get that kind of monkey off his back and that perception that he was a guy who didn't produce in the postseason. I don't think Nash scores 40 goals again this year. I think he's probably a 35 goal scorer, which is more than fine for what this team has. This is a balanced group. I mentioned locking up Stepan, one of the better two-way centers in the league, a guy who keeps getting better. 55 points last year. I think he goes over 60 this year. I think this is a guy who's definitely on the uptick. They get a pretty decent deal with him. Like McDonough, the two very good savvy deals here from the Rangers. McDonough and Stepan probably getting less money than they could have got. But for me, this comes down to depth. And this is a very deep team. They're a very balanced team. But in terms of secondary scoring, I think that's the most important thing. This Rangers team has been right on the cusp of winning a Stanley Cup. And I think in order to do that, they're going to need some of the guys you mentioned to take it one step farther in their development. I think Kreider is one of the guys that really sticks off the page. They're going to need more than the 46 points he had last year if they really want to go for it. I think Kevin Hayes is another guy who last year was available for pretty much everyone, a star at Boston College. Really had a great year last year, 17 goals, was very good in the playoffs. A big guy who can skate. He was involved last night in one of the goals, and this is a guy who's very young, better, and really find his role with this roster. Obviously, it's great to have Matt Zuccarello back. A scary injury last year with a fractured skull. He played last night, and is a guy who's put together two very good seasons in a row now. Almost 50 points last year for Zooks, plus 17 player. He's one of these really exciting lightning rod players in this roster, can really skate, and just a very smart hockey IQ guy. And then Derek Brassard. I think Brassard, very under the radar last year. Brassard had an excellent season, 60 points, 19 goals. Brassard, I think, is one of those undervalued guys. You mentioned how strong they are on the back line, and we all know about King, Hank, and Net. People were worried about that neck injury. Look at the numbers. Hank is just fine when he came back. Absolutely unbelievable what this guy's done in his career. His worst year in the league is a 2.43 goals against and 9.16 save percentage, which is just insane. Last year, 30-13, 9.22, 2.25 goals against. Even better numbers in the playoffs where he was holding opponents under two goals pretty much every game. I like the Rangers again this year. I think they kind of have that LA Kings, Boston Bruins mode where they can roll four lines and they're very balanced in terms of the scoring output. I think if Stepan can take that next step offensively, he's always already a very good two-way player, but if he can up the production offensively and guys like Kreider and Zuccarello and Hayes can kind of take that next jump, I think this is the Rangers team that can come out of the East and make another run at the Stanley Cup, especially when you talk about how good they are in D with McDonough, Yandle, Klein, Girardi, and then Lundqvist as one of the best two or three goalies in the world. And for my money, maybe the best big-game goalie that the NHL has seen in the last decade or so. Moving on, I think the Rangers will be right there. Not a lot of huge moves this year. Pretty similar team, kind of like Tampa Bay. They're sticking with what works. Some small adds there when you mention Jared Stoll, who will help on the fourth line as a faceoff guy. Emerson Edom's a very talented young kid who I really like, but has kind of struggled to get a consistent playing time on two very deep teams. But losing Hagelin hurts a little, but this Rangers team is going to be right back where they were last year, and that's going to be competing at the top of this division and in the Eastern Conference. My number one team in this division, though, is the Washington Capitals. I think they slightly edge out the Rangers. In the offseason, Washington lost Mike Green, who was their anchor, their power play, and a very good offensive defenseman, smooth skater, but a veteran. They lose him. They lose Joel Ward, who quietly had 20 goals last year. And then they make a trade. They trade Troy Brouwer, who for me is one of the more underrated players in the entire NHL, a great two-way player, guy who throws his weight around, kind of a heart and soul guy for this team. They trade Troy Brouwer, and while they lose some things in terms of heart and just, I guess, defensive ability, they get a guy in TJ Oshie who has the sick offensive skills. This is a very good two-way player as well. Oshie is a guy who could thrive, and I think his point numbers are going to jump playing with a guy like Ovechkin. They also signed Mr. Game 7, Justin Williams, and his 30 career playoff goals. What do you think about the Capitals? Can they repeat? Can Holt be as good? And what do you see as the difference between them and the Rangers in this Metropolitan Division?
Well, there's not a ton of difference here. Like you mentioned, I like their offseason acquisitions of Justin Williams and TJ Oshie. And I like the base they had up front, really. You know, obviously, when you have arguably the best player in the game in Alexander Ovechkin, and you got Nicholas Backstrom dishing on passes every night, and you slot Oshie on that top line, that's going to be some serious firepower right there. And then on the second line, you got a guy like Evgeny Kuznetsov, who seemed to really make the turn last year. I think he's going to have a really good year this year.
Breakout player alert.
Absolutely. And another guy like Marcus Johansson, who definitely seems like he's ready to take the next step as well. Andrei Burakovsky. They definitely have the pieces here. My number one, and Holtby even. I think Holtby needs to be considered a top 5, 6, 7 goalie in the NHL at this point. He definitely proved his case last year. He started 73 games. The only question I have with him is durability. Barry Trotz continued to turn to him every single night and not give him rest here and there. And the numbers, will they hold up under that amount of workload? They definitely did last year. He started 73 games and then went into the playoffs. And I had questions of whether or not that workload would affect his play in such a playoff run where you're going in night in, night out, long overtime games. And it really didn't. You know, he ended up putting up fantastic numbers in the postseason. He almost basically carried Washington past the Rangers. Of course, that ended in an overtime game 7 loss. But I think this team is going to be a serious force in the Met. The only difference between them and the Rangers, I think, is the defensive deck. You definitely have a couple of defensive pieces here. John Carlson's a top defenseman. They brought in Matt Niskanen and Brooks Orpik from Pittsburgh last year. They're both good pieces. Brooks Orpik's getting older and he's getting slower, but he's he's still a quality defenseman. They lose Mike Green. I think the defensive group is going to be the difference between first and second in this division. But otherwise, this team top to bottom is definitely going to be a contender. And I like what Barry Trotz has done with the team, too. Coming in last year, he really turned this team into a serious, serious threat out of the Metro. And it's nice to see Ovechkin buy into his system, too, having a fantastic year last year under his first coaching experience with the Capitals.
Yeah, I was just going to echo that. I think you can't overstate what Barry for this team last year. Getting a guy who notoriously irresponsible defensively, a guy who kind of runs around a lot out there, as good as he is offensively, he's going to be one of the greatest goal scorers of all time. The knock on Ovechkin was the other end of the ice. He kind of didn't stay in his own lane. He ran around a lot. Always a minus player. He got Ovi to buy in, which a lot of people were worried about when they hired Barry Trotz. Ovi had his best overall season. I don't think that's even a debate. Less points than he's had in years past, but he was just phenomenal on both ends. In the playoffs, again, he was terrific. And I think you talk about Trotz and how he's got this team to buy in and play a stronger defensive game. The other thing I agree with you is I think that third pair D for Washington is going to be an issue. That's my biggest worry, picking them winning the division. I like the top four. Alsner is steady. Niskanen was very good and seemed to be worth the money last year. John Carlson's one of the better up-and-coming QA defensemen. He's just going to take over as that offensive guy. Mike Green was kind of on the downtick anyway. They picked up a guy. Carlson just continues to up his point totals. 57 points last year, plus 11 guy. He's going to be their power play anchor. And then Holt, I think Kuznetsov has a breakout year. Marcus Johansson quietly had almost 50 points and is a very good young player. Burakovsky had 40 goals in the OHL a few years ago. Not worried about the offense, but like you, I think they're a little bit light on the back end of that defense. I think the 5th and 6th D remain huge question marks. And then I think with Washington, the other question comes to, can this team win in the playoffs? Last year, they had the 3-1 lead, and they let it go against the Rangers. The Rangers did an unbelievable job fighting back in that series. But Washington, as good as they've been, they've put up some good point totals here in standings. They can never seem to make that next step in the playoffs. I think they started to do that last year. And I think having Barrett Trotz and this new kind of style where they're more responsible defensively, I think you're going to see Washington make deeper and deeper runs in the next few years. Our third team I think we agree on in this division, I think it's the Pittsburgh Penguins. Year one for Mike Johnson didn't go, I guess, as well as most people would have projected. They kind of really hang on at the very end of a playoff spot. They had to win their last game against Buffalo to even get in. They get the eighth seed. They go rather quietly against the New York Rangers. They make some moves this year, the big one being the Phil Kessel trade. I like this for this team. Kessel was an easy whipping boy in Toronto. Obviously not a great defensive player. Obviously a guy who people make fun of because just conditioning-wise. This is an excellent skater. This is a guy who has one of the best releases on his shot in the NHL. He scores 30 goals every year. I think he might be able to get 40 playing with Sidney Crosby. That seems to be the pattern with other guys. James Neal, Kunitz have had career years with Crosby. Kessel's already done this with way less in terms of a playmaker. I think he pushes the 40-goal plateau this year. And then they also add Plotnikov, a KHL guy who very close to Evgeny Malkin. He's going to slide in that second line. Nick Bonino comes in as a third-line center, another guy who's almost got 20 goals in this league pretty much the last few years. The question for me with Pittsburgh is what it's been the last few years. Defense, you love Letang, a great two-way defenseman, one of the best in the league when healthy. Obviously, he's had a lot of concussions. But after that, I think there's a ton of questions. Rob Scuderi, as tough as he is, what he brings in leadership, this guy is getting really old tooth. I don't know how much he has left. Is how durable is he at this point? And then you have the two young kids, Mata, who, again, guy who's been through so much the last 2 years, whether it be cancer last year, or 2 years ago with a shoulder injury, missed most of the season, and also one of the guys who had the mumps epidemic last season. Good to see Olli Mata back there. He's going to join the team early next week, and I think Mata's a guy who they're going to need a lot out of. This kid was not phased as an 18-year-old, and they're going to need him to be that good again because not much else here on defense. Pouliot, another guy who they have high hopes for but is not starting the year in the NHL. What do you make of Pittsburgh? We obviously know about the talent they have on the offensive end with the top nine forwards, and led by Crosby, Malkin, and Kessel. But are they good enough on defense? Is Fleury good enough in goal? Do you see Pittsburgh really being a challenge to win this division, or do you just think they're a middle-of-the-division kind of team and a playoff team?
They're always a threat to win a division. They were a threat to win the division last year when their team wasn't whole. They weren't the Pittsburgh Penguins last year. I think they are this year. You pretty much nailed it with your analysis there. I like their offense. There's not a name in those top six that you can look at and be like, oh, you shouldn't be there. They're all top line. They're honestly, you look at the top six, they're all first line talent, every single one of them. You got two of the three best players in the entire world on those first two lines. And then you could bring in a guy like Phil Kessel, who's a top 10 goal scorer, I think every one of the last 3 years, I want to say, with a much lesser team up in Toronto. They brought in David Perron last year from Edmonton. Chris Kunitz always has that great chemistry with Sidney Crosby. Patrick Hornquist has the same with Evgeny Malkin. They bring in a guy like Nick Bonino to center that third line, which is something that Brandon Sutter did for many years. So that's basically a wash in my book. It's about the same type of player there. Fleury, you know, went from very overrated to extremely underrated at this point. People knock him for not being able to get the job done. The guy had the cup ring, and you know, he's been playing behind a pretty weak defensive corps the last couple of years, and that's, I think, going to continue this year. I'm bringing back Olli Mata, as you said, it's definitely going to help out, but there's just no depth there. It's a worse defensive situation than Washington has by far, I think. They just don't have the depth outside of that first pairing of Letang and Mata. That concerns me a lot, and that's why I don't necessarily put this team in the same group as the Rangers and the Capitals. However, goal scoring wins games in this league, and they're going to score a lot of goals this year. If the defense is even mediocre and Fleury has a decent year, this team could definitely challenge the Rangers and the Caps and the Islanders for the division lead. And in my book, they're a playoff team this year if they can stay healthy, which is, of course, another big problem. Crosby misses time. Malkin always misses time. Letang misses time a lot. Mata was out, of course, all last year. If they stay healthy, this team is definitely a playoff team, but I think the difference between them and the top of the division is the defensive depth.
Yeah, I think this is going to be, like you said, a very exciting team to watch. They're going to put a lot of points on the board. If you're a gambling man, I'd be hitting the over a lot with the Penguins. Seven guys here who've had 25 goals. Their top nine forwards are just ridiculous, but a lot of questions on defense. We know Fleury can be hot and cold as a goalie. He's a very solid goalie, but he's a guy who's known to be streaky and can run hot and cold. But Pittsburgh, I think, is definitely a playoff team, but they're going to need a lot from these young defensemen. They're going to need some bounce-back years from guys like Lovejoy and Cole, which I just don't see. I think there's going to be a lot of high-scoring games, and this is going to be kind of a circus in Pittsburgh in terms of the style of play and the numbers this offensive group's going to put up. The fourth team in the Metropolitan Division, to me, is the New York Islanders. A lot of people high on Columbus, but I think New York really has a solid foundation. They were 2 years, 3 years ago, they had a very good year in the lockout shortened season. The year after, they were just destroyed by injuries, specifically to Johnny Tavares, and missed out on the playoffs. Last year, they bounced back again. They go over the 100-point plateau as an organization. Talk about the depth here with the Islanders. John Tavares, obviously, one of the best five or six forwards in the NHL. Okposo is one of the better power forwards in this league. Ryan Strome had his best season in the NHL last year. Anders Lee, Frans Nielsen. They shored up the defense last year. They signed Boychuk and Letty long-term. Both of those guys finished in the top 10 in Corsi among defensemen. Travis Hamonic had a great year and I think really gives them a third elite young defenseman. And then they add Marek Zgliczki, who will definitely help on the power play. Zgliczki has one of the best shots in the NHL. It was really kind of a shot in the arm for Detroit down the stretch coming over in a trade from New Jersey. And then Halak in net. What do you think of the Islanders? Can they do this again? They moved to Brooklyn this year. Going to be a little bit different atmosphere, I think, there than what it was at the Nassau Coliseum. But this is a deep team that pretty much stayed pat. I mean, they have pretty much the same group. Some small adds near the bottom of their roster with Bernier and Zdlicki, but pretty much the same group as last year, and that was a good group for New York.
Yes, I do think they can do it again. And honestly, they'd be higher in this division if it wasn't for the division. I just don't think they had the same talent as the Capitals, the Rangers, the Penguins. But yes, this team's for real. This wasn't a one-year fluke. This wasn't lightning in a bottle. There is some talent on this team. And it starts with Tavares up on that first line, but it runs right through that fourth line. They have a lot of depth on offense. Nikolai Kuhlman, they lose a guy like Michael Grabner through Toronto, but they Cal Clutterbuck back there on the fourth line. They definitely have a lot of talent on offense, and their defense I like a lot too. Johnny Boychuk, Nick Leddy coming in last year, both signing long-term deals. Travis Hamonic, Thomas Hickey. They have a lot of talent through this entire roster. Jaroslav Halak is a middling goaltender. But he's the best goaltender that New York has had in quite some time on the Islanders. And he's good enough to continue winning games for the Islanders with them. I like the addition of Thomas Bryce behind him as well. They've really lacked that backup goalie. Chad Johnson was not very good for them. They brought in Neuvirth last year, and he was mediocre as well once he came to New York. So it's nice to have a backup goalie that can take some of those starts away from Halak because he won't be able to start the lion's share. I think this team is definitely for real, and I think they do contend once again, and they lock up a wild card in the East.
Yeah, I think my favorite part about the Islanders is their depth up front. I mean, this is they have a lot of skill on those top three lines, starting with Tavares, Kosa, Strome, Nielsen, Lee, Nelson, Bailey. You mentioned Kuhlman and Grabowski. And then their fourth line has to be the least fun fourth line to play against in the league. Cizikas, Clutterbuck, and Martin. Martin and Clutterbuck finish 1-2 in the league in hits. These guys get under your skin, and they bring that other element to the Islanders. This is not a fun team to play against. I think last year a lot of these guys got their playoff feet wet, and I think they have a chance to do even better this season. Their regular season record might not reflect that, but this is a team I think that's built better than they were a year ago to maybe win a round of the playoffs and make a deeper run. The fifth team here in this division, the trendy pick of the offseason. I've seen some people go all in on Columbus. Scott Stevens from NHL Network picks them to win the Stanley Cup. I know John Buccigross from ESPN has Columbus as a 100-point team. This is a very young team. They obviously made a great move in the offseason, getting Brandon Saad, who at 22 years old is one of the brightest stars. This guy already has a couple cups. 52 points last year. That'll go up as he's going to be more featured in this offensive group. What do you think about Columbus? Saad, obviously, is the big addition. And then they get Ryan Murray, the former second overall pick, back from injury on defense. Is it just me or are people overvaluing the one move for Columbus? I like this team. I think they're going to compete for a playoff spot. But I'm not ready to say with how young these guys are, Johansson 22, Saad 22, I'm not ready to put this team in the Stanley Cup yet or consider them, I guess, a 100-point squad. What do you feel about Columbus, and just how do you see this playing out? Is this team that clearly went all in the offseason and was able to acquire a huge young asset in Brandon Saad?
Yeah, people going all in on them is pretty suspect. I agree. When you look at the roster, you say, okay, you guys made one massive move. And a great move at that. Brandon Saad is the real deal. He's going to be a 25-goal scorer, maybe 30-goal scorer this season. I believe he netted 23 last year with Chicago. But you look through the rest of the roster, and it's the same roster. And then you got to factor in that you got a couple of guys who might not be able to repeat what they even did last year. Nick Foligno on that winger outside of Ryan Johansson. Is he going to be able to do what he did last year? He had a career basically of not doing what he did last year. Is he going to be able to do that again? Was it because he was playing next to Johansson that he was able to put up that incredible season of 31 goals and 42 assists? Scotty Hartnell started really slow, and the only reason his stats stood up last year at the end of the year was because he finished really hot. He had a great finish to the year. Brandon Dubinsky, is he a bona fide number two center? Kim Atkinson, can he finally put it together and put up 20 goals this season? The defense is pretty solid, led by Jack Johnson, and Bobrovsky in net is a top, 5, 6, 7 goaltender as well in the NHL. I think he's wildly underrated. People look at that Vezina Trophy year with him and think it's an outlier. He's the real deal. He's a very talented goaltender. There's definitely pieces here. But they didn't do enough in the offseason to really make them a serious contender for the Stanley Cup. However, I wouldn't be surprised to see them steal away a wild card seat, maybe even slip into that third seat in the Metro somehow. Their big thing last year was the injuries. They got hit by a lot of injuries. But they're not ready for the next level, especially when you look at the ads, and it's basically Brandon Saad and a guy like Gregory Campbell who's going to slot in way down on the fourth line probably. So, no, they're not ready for the next step, but this is a serious base, and they're going to win a lot of games this year, but they're not a Stanley Cup contender.
Yeah, I think the two things here are the man games missed injury, 508 last year, which led the NHL. And I think a lot of people are getting blinded by the Saad move. Like you said, unbelievable move for them. They kind of put the pressure on Chicago and had it. So Chicago really couldn't sign Saad. They had it to where the Blackhawks just didn't have the money available to do it. And they tied the Blackhawks' hand. They did not want to lose Brandon Saad. They end up getting a franchise player. That first line, that line can go with anyone. And I think that I agree with you. Johansson has some of the best hands in the league. 71 points last year at age 22. Foligno had a career year. I think he's more of a 25, 22 goal scorer. Last year he has 31. Second line, again, love the second line. Dubinsky's become a very two-way responsible player, which I did not see coming early in his career. Atkinson is going to score his 20 goals. And Scotty Hartnell, while he's streaky, he always seems to get 25 in the net. Maybe they can get something Clarkson, who they take on as a contract and a swap for Nathan Horton. Nathan Horton wasn't helping them. He's obviously out with injury. So might as well, if you're going to be paying someone, maybe you pick someone who can help you. Hopefully Clarkson does that. It did not work for him in Toronto, though. 15 goals in 158 games during his 2 years there. Maybe they get something out of him for the money they're paying him. I just think this is a two-line team. And I think on defense, I really only like the top three guys when you talk about Johnson, Savard, and Murray. Bobrovsky's very solid in net, a very good goaltender. But this to me looks like it's an overreaction. I think people are overreacting because I really see six very good forwards here and then maybe two good D and hopefully a third in Ryan Murray, who's had a lot of questions with injuries. But I'm not ready to put Columbus in the Eastern Conference Finals just yet. I think they fight for a playoff spot. They'll be right there. But I think we might be getting a little ahead of ourselves if we're considering them a division favorite. This is where you mentioned the drop-off, and I completely agree. I think those top five teams are all going to be in the postseason. I really think that the Metro is going to get five teams. They're going to get the both wild cards. Philly is the next in line here, but there's a huge drop-off when you talk Philly, and then even further as you go down Carolina and the New Jersey Devils, who both teams in complete rebuild mode. Philly, new coach, they get Dave Haxtell from North Dakota. They go the NCAA route. This is a guy who made the NCAA tournament all 11 years while at North Dakota. Seven Frozen Fours under his belt. He inherits a team with a lot of top-end talent, but a team that underachieved the last years. Out of the playoffs, two of the last three. They have two of the better offensive players in the Eastern Conference, and Claude Giroux and Jakub Voracek. Voracek had a breakout year last year with 81 points, was leading the NHL in scoring for most of the year. And then they have some guys who've been around. Simmer, solid player, and Wayne Simmonds. Raffle last year was up for the NHL Cy Young with 21 goals and 7 assists. He got beat out by Brandon Peary, I think, who only had 2 assists on the year. Matt Reed, what do you do with Braden Schenn? Is this the year Sean Couturier jumps out? And then some questions on defense. Is Philly completely out of the playoff picture? I think we both agree Carolina and New Jersey are. Philly has talent, but they've underachieved. Do you think they are completely out of the playoff structure here, or do you think this is a team that maybe could contend if some things go right?
Yeah, they need a lot to go right. It's not a couple of things. They need a lot to go right to contend, especially in this division, just to get into the playoffs. I actually picked them back after the finals ended as one of the strong early value bets at 101 to win the Stanley Cup, just because they were 101 of those 101 teams. They seem like the one team of the group that had the most going for them. And that starts with a guy like Claude Giroux and Jacob Voracek on that first line. Voracek was in the point run last year, had a line share of assists with 59. Ended up with 81 points. Giroux ended up with 25 goals and 48 assists after a slow start. Those are bona fide superstars up there on the front line. But you're right, outside of that, there's not a lot to love here on offense. A lot of guys, a lot of question marks. When is Sean Couturier going to show up? What does Vinny Lecavalier have left? What do you do with Matt Reed? Is he ever going to give you anything? And then you look on the defense, they waived Andrew McDonald the other day with that terrible contract. Mark Strait is... he appears to be a top-level offensive defenseman, at least. Michael Delzato, same deal. Not a lot of depth there, though. I don't love the defense at all. And Steve Mason had a fantastic season last year, especially on a terrible team like this. 2.25 goals against average, a 9.28 save percentage. He really showed up last year. And he actually led the league in adjusted even strength save percentage last season, which is potentially the best metric to show a goalie's true ability, adjusting to situation and team. So there's definitely pieces here, but I'd be lying to say that this team could definitely contend with a couple things going right. They need a lot to go right. They need these players that are on the fringe to show up finally and break out, and they need their superstars to stay healthy and put up career years, basically. They need Mason to continue being a top goaltender in the NHL. I don't think they're ready to contend, and I'm not even sure they're ready to rebuild right now. They're kind of caught in the middle.
Yeah, I think that the two things, I like their forwards. I'm very okay with their top three lines. But for me, I'm fine with Mason and goal. The two things for me that really stick out are, who's your next best defenseman after Mark Street? Street, obviously a great power play, top 10 in points as a defenseman. Then you have Schultz. Delzato, I guess they got something out of last year, kind of had a little revival there. They bring in Medvedev, a 33-year-old veteran from the KHL, who's a big guy who, first year in the NHL, we'll see what he brings. And then the other thing that sticks out to me is this is a team that has $16 million worth of their cap that is a healthy scratch for their season opener. Vinny Lecavalier, healthy scratch. Only had 20 points last year. Sam Gagne, who they brought in, a guy I like. I think Sam Gagne has some offensive ability, former top 10 pick, 41 points last year with Arizona. He's a healthy scratch. Radko Gudas, their big defensive acquisition, he's a healthy scratch for their opener. And then Andy McDonald getting paid a lot of money to be playing for the Lee Valley Phantoms of the American Hockey League. I think that says it all about Philadelphia. When you have so many guys that just haven't worked out, where they're basically paying guys not to play at this point, I think Philly's kind of caught in the middle, like you said, and I don't think they're a real threat to make the teams in this division. Carolina and New Jersey, I think you could really go either way on this. Neither team looks to have a very bright outlook. I'm going to start with Carolina. This team's missed the playoffs 6 years in a row. The big thing hanging over the Hurricanes right now is what to do with Eric Staal. Just turned 30. This is a guy who's been in the Hart Trophy consideration in his prime. He's fallen off the last year. 54 points last year. What do you do with him? Do you re-sign him? Do you look to move him if you get off to a slow start? Toronto has been linked there with Staal. Get a Canadian guy back there to maybe build around. What do you do with Eric Staal? And then can Jeff Skinner come back to form? This guy had 30 goals as an 18-year-old in the NHL, was making it look easy, 63 points. He only had 31 points last year, and he's really fallen off the last few years. They have some nice young players. I think they really got a steal in the draft with Noah Hanifin. I've seen this guy in person a bunch of times growing up in the Boston area. Noah Hanifin is the real deal on defense. Size, speed, a smooth skater. I think he's a number one defenseman. You pair that with Justin Falk, who already is a number one, and I really like that combination. They bring in Wisniewski as a defenseman. I still think, while overpaid, has some value in this league, especially with a team like Carolina. What do you think about Carolina? This is a team that really just doesn't look to have a very positive outlook. They obviously bring in Eddie Lack to push Cam Ward. Cam Ward going to get the opening night start, but Eddie Lack was brought in. They made a trade there. Is Lack the goalie here? Does Lack take the job from Ward? Ward wasn't bad last year. He was just kind of mediocre. He was really bad the year before. But what do you make of, I guess, this really in flux and struggling organization, Carolina? And what do you think happens with the goaltending situation and Eric Staal?
Well, this team doesn't have a lot of bright spots here outside of that they have a couple of young pieces. I like Victor Rask a lot. He put up 33 points last year. Eric Staal was the only player on this roster last year to break 20 goals and break 50 points. No other player did that. Justin Falk actually finished second on the team from defense on points with 49 and 15 goals. There's not a lot of bright spots all around. I think this team is definitely in the rebuild mode, and they need to just start over. Eric Staal needs to – I think they got to move Eric Staal. Toronto, you mentioned, would be a good spot for him, I think, a Canadian to build around up there. In goal, I think Eddie Lack becomes the goaltender. They're saying that he will probably jump Cam Ward at some point, especially with Cam Ward in the last year of his deal. There's not a lot of point in sitting Eddie Lack if they're planning on making Eddie Lack the goalie of the future here. There's no real reason to keep him on the bench with Cam Ward potentially not even coming back next year. I like Noah Hanifin. He made the team at a camp, and he'll definitely be a strong defenseman in this otherwise kind of unexciting group. James Wisniewski they brought in as well. This team's a mess really right now, and if it wasn't for Jersey, they'd be bottom of the division. But they do have some pieces. Elias Lindholm, too, on the wing. Nathan Gerby and Victor Rask. I like those pieces, but it's not enough. This team, especially in this division, is not going anywhere, and they need to just start over. And the best way to do that would probably be getting Eric Staal out of town and giving Eddie Lack the line share of the starts this year.
Yeah, I think that's the key there at the end that you mentioned. If you're rebuilding, which Carolina clearly is, why not see what you got in Eddie Lack? You made the move for him, and I'd agree. Let's get some picks and get maybe a couple of prospects for Eric Staal. The rebuild is not going to be quick enough where he's going to be a factor. You mentioned some nice pieces they have. I still believe in Skinner. He's still very young, and he's shown in this league that he could be a 25-plus goal scorer, very fast skater. Rask is another player you mentioned I like. Lindholm, a former top five pick, is a guy I really like. And then Falk and Hanifin on defense is a future great number one pairing. But I agree, why not start Eddie Lack and see what you got? And why not shop around Eric Staal and maybe get kind of a solid loot of picks and combination of picks and prospects and maybe kind of fasten the rebuild here in Raleigh. The final team in this division who – I'm going to go out on a limb here and say might have the most unexciting roster I've ever seen in the New Jersey Devils. New head coach, Ray Shiro, takes over and hires a guy he worked with in the Pittsburgh organization, John Hines, as head coach. My big question for this team is who scores? This team's missed the last 3 years. They really don't have an elite number one player. I don't know who you would take as their number one player, to be honest. Adam Henry is still in the fold here. Mike Camilleri. They bring in a local guy called Palmieri, who I think was a nice little offseason acquisition. And Yuri Talusti is also someone they signed. Do you feel bad for Corey Schneider here? He doesn't seem to have much in front of him. And just who on this New Jersey team really excites you?
Well, Corey Schneider excites me. You ask who their best player is, it's Corey Schneider. That's it, basically. He put up fantastic numbers, finished in the top five in save percentage last year, despite playing behind, like you said, I think one of the worst NHL rosters I've ever seen. I had a 925 save percentage last year behind a team that Adam Henrique led the team in points last year. He had 43. So they didn't have a 50-point scorer last year. Camilleri had 27 goals to lead the team. He was the only one above 16. So there's just not a lot of pieces here. The defense is atrocious. And Andy Green and Adam Larson's that first pairing. And from there, that in itself is an unexciting top D pair. From there, it just gets atrocious. There's nothing on the second and third pairings. Mike Camilleri is going to give you some goals. Adam Henrique will give you some assists. Patrick Elias is in his twilight years now. Kyle Pemulari. There's just not anything to like on this team. This is definitely going to be the bottom of the Atlantic, and quite frankly, this could be the worst team in the NHL this year. I've noticed that they're not really doing a lot to rebuild right now. They need to get some draft picks. They need to ship some of these guys out of town. Eliash is not doing anything for this roster right now. And their defense, like I said, is just that is the worst defensive group in the NHL, and it's the epitome of this just atrocious roster. I do feel bad for Corey Schneider. He'll get his save percentage right there again, though, but the goals against average, somehow he managed 2.26 last year, and this team was, you know, a 32-win team. So nothing to like here. They're going to be the bottom of the Atlantic, and there's pretty much no argument to that, I think.
Yeah, I just don't see who I like on this roster. You mentioned I love Schneider. another BC kid who has really turned into that number one goalie that they hoped he was going to be in Vancouver and take over for Luongo. I think New Jersey did a great job to get him, but everything else they've done just doesn't look good on paper. Larson, I think, is a nice young defenseman. Jelinek, Merrill, and Sverson are three other young defensemen maybe they hope that can help. John Moore, a guy you know well from New York, maybe they can get his first-round talent out of him. But the forwards are weak. They have a lot of aging guys, and Tragedy's Ajak, we didn't even really mention, is a guy they're trying to move right now. Toronto's interested, but another guy, why would you want him at this point in his career? Not a very good outlook for New Jersey, and I think this is a team that they're very close to the bottom, and I think they are going to be the worst team in the league. It might be time to just blow this thing up and really, really start rebuilding, selling off some of these veterans like Camilleri and Eliash, and see if you can get anything back. That's it. I think we've got through the Metropolitan Division pretty thoroughly today. We still have two divisions to go, and we'll jump over to the Western Conference tomorrow. Ben, great work as always, and good to have you on. That's all we have today for the 7th Suite podcast. Please check it out and let us know what you think. We'll get back in here tomorrow and do the Western Conference and see where that takes us. And that's it for us. Thank you for tuning in. And for Gus Elvin and Ben Arledge, have a good one.